Good evening. Good evening. Good. It's good to be here. I know I always say that, but you know it's the truth. It's always good to be in the house of God. Because you know that's where God is. That's where I always want to be. Wherever God is. You know, and that's something that, starting with my grandparents and then with my parents, that's what I was taught growing up. Be where God is. You know. Because if you're where God is, you can't go wrong. Amen. You know? And it's a Christmas season. What Christmas is, what, today's Christmas Eve, Eve? Yeah. And everybody got all their Christmas shopping done yet?
No.
No. Thank you, son. Oh, man. I think I have mine done. I don't know. But, you know, I like Christmas, but Christmas is stressful. You know, it's a stressful time of year. Especially, you know, if you work retail, it's really stressful because you got about 1.5 million people on top of you, because I did that for years. And it's stressful because, for whatever reason, kids don't have to go to school for like 2 weeks. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved it. It was the greatest thing in the world. Now that I'm a parent, I'm like, no, y'all need to go to school. Don't come to the house. Go to school. I don't want to see you. I mean, I love my kids. Don't get me wrong. But I love them at school during the day. Oh, and then you've got, you know, holiday parties and decorations. I'm not going to lie. I'm quarter lazy. I do not like putting up Christmas decorations. Because if you want a good fight at the kitchen household, it's when Christmas decorating time comes. Because Kelly loves stuff everywhere. That's the one thing. We were putting up the Christmas tree, and I was like, I'm not even sure if I even like Christmas. And she got all over me. Oh, my Lord. I got the worst talking to of my entire life. Oh, it was bad. It was bad. But, you know, we love Christmas decorations so much in our household that we literally have 3 Christmas trees. 3. What do you need 3 for? Apparently we do. I don't know. I don't understand it. Oh. And then, of course, with Christmas comes presents. And that's stressful, buying stuff for folks. Trying to make sure they like what you're going to get them. Or, you know, because they look at it and they'll be like, I love you this many dollars worth, you know, whenever you buy them a present. Oh, man. And then you're always thinking, did I spend enough? Did I get enough? There's a lot of stress. Oh, so in all of this going on, I decided to take Carson to the movies yesterday, right? So we go to Fort Smith, and I'm trying to drive into Fort Smith. I'm looking around. I'm like, there are too many people on the road right now. There are too many people in Fort Smith. Y'all need to go home. Go home. But, of course, you know, it is the last Saturday. It was the last Saturday before Christmas, so everybody getting in their last gifts. So we go and we see this movie. It was the new Spider-Man movie, some animated movie that Carson wanted to see because we love Spider-Man. Can't lie. And during the movie theater, lo and behold, what do I get on my phone? My phone starts buzzing. It's a message from Kelly. Hey, can you go to the store and pick up some stuff? Just a couple things, which is always famous last words, right? Just a couple things. Oh, and in my mind, I'm thinking, when I read this message, I'm thinking, for sure, no, I am not going to the store. But being the loving husband that I am, my actual response back to her was, sure, babe, anything you need. Because, you know, I don't want to wake up dead. Oh. So we go to Walmart, right? Walmart in Fort Smith, of all places. There are too many people at Walmart. Too many people at Walmart. I'm looking around and I'm like, y'all need to go home. And I'm thinking, I love the self-checkout lanes at the big Walmarts because you don't have to talk to anybody. You can just do your business and go, right? There was lines on those. And of course, the people right in front of us mess up something, so they have to stand there and like flip the little light on. The little guy has to come over, and it's a whole ordeal. And I'm like, can't you guys people just hurry up? I just want to go home. And through all this, I began to look like, well, Albie, throw that picture up. I began to look like that. For those of you at home or listening by via the internet, that's a picture of the Grinch. And that was me yesterday. Hit the next one. Because, you know, my heart, just like the Grinch, was two sizes too small. Hit the next one. Right there. Two sizes too small. And that's not a good place to be at Christmas, being a Grinch. You know, it's not good. Because it's not good for anybody. It's not good for me. It's not good for you. It's not good for my family. And you know, I don't think God likes it either, when you're a Grinch at this time. Because, you know, in all of the stuff of Christmas, it's easy to lose sight of the true meaning. What does Christmas really mean? Nice guess on family. But more important, Jesus. More important, the meaning of Christmas, well, it's not Christmas unless I let my friend Linus tell you about it. Will you throw that up there for me? Because it's not Christmas without Charlie Brown. Go ahead and play that for me, brother.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. In the midst of all the stuff and the hustle and the bustle and the people, Christmas is all about a babe in a manger. It's all about a babe in a manger. It's all about, well, one of my favorite Christmas songs we sang tonight. It's O Holy Night. Will you throw that up there for me? And I love this song because it encapsulates all of Christmas and what Christmas means to me. It says these simple words, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Long lay the world in sin and error pining for something. For something, someone, something to be different. Something to be different. Something to feel different. Just something deep inside, pining away for God. And he shows up. Until he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. In this dark time of this song, a little baby's cry pierced the darkness and said, and it was God saying, I am here. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the pining, that hole in your soul, God shows up and he says, I am here. today. See, and he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. You know, I've sang that song 1,000 times, and I've heard that line, but what does that mean? When he showed up, the soul felt its worth. What is a soul worth? Really, what it's asking is, what are you worth? Are you worth something? Or are you worth nothing? It's really easy to, and I've been there, where you don't feel like anything. You feel worthless. And God, in this, he's saying, you have a worth. It's easy to feel worthless. I've been there. I've had things, I don't know about you, I can speak for myself, but I can remember every bad word that someone has said against me. Every time someone said, you're nothing. Every time someone said, you're fat. You're worthless. No one loves you. I can replay that every time. And I can remember every single time. And you know when it hits you the most? It's when you're laying in your bed at night. This one hits me. I'm just talking from my own life here. When you're laying in bed trying to get a minute of sleep, your brain begins to replay that tape of all the things that someone has said, all the times that you screwed up. Did you ever have that? Maybe I'm the only one. You know, all the times that you messed up, you did something wrong. And that tape begins to keep playing. And the more you indulge that, what happens? You feel worthless. You begin to say, I'm not worth anything. I'm not worth God's love. That's when it really gets you, when you start thinking about that. You know, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Romans 3:10, it says, none is righteous, no, not one. So you're looking at that and you're like, what am I worth? If no one is righteous, no one is worthy, what am I worth? But there's a difference between being unworthy and not having worth. Because you know, we're not worthy of God's love. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves worthy of God's love. But through this simple act that God did, throw that song back up there. When he appeared, the soul felt its worth. When he appeared, when God shows up, you know, hey, I felt worthless, but when he's there, I have worth. I am worth something. And the reason is because God stepped down from his throne. Like that song that I played it. There's a reason I played that. He stepped down from his throne to say, you're worthy. You have worth. Because the message of the gospel is the message that although you are unworthy of God's love, God says, you have an unending value and worth in my eyes. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've screwed up, thank God, he still says, you are worthy of my love. You have worth in my eyes. It's a value so great that he would step down from a throne on high to become part of our story. To live, to die, and to take away our sins upon himself. And it all started with a little baby crying in a manger. Announcing to the world, I am here. And in that he was simply saying, you have worth no matter what people have said about you. You are loved even if you don't feel loved. You are strong when you feel weakest. You are held even when things are falling apart. You belong to me. And I am with you always. And that is the message of Christmas. Because that babe in a manger was God's perfect love to us. I know it's kind of fast, but I want you guys to think about that. Because when we feel our worth through God, what happens? The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. When you feel the things of God, that no matter how weary you are, you begin to rejoice. No matter what's going on in your life, how many times you've messed up, you rejoice in the things of God. Because He loves you, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what you think you've done. And that is what I want to encourage you guys with. It's just simply, in this time of Christmas, forget all the stuff. Forget all the running around. All the, did I get enough for this? Did I do this? Did I, all the decorations, all the running to Walmart, all the people around you. Put it all aside. And rejoice in the things of God. Rejoice that God loved you enough that He would step down and say, I am here. I am here with you. Anyway.
What a wonderful word. You know, as the word teaches in Corinthians, thank God for the unspeakable gift. Thank God for the gift that words alone cannot describe. The only way that you can fully experience what God is trying to do is feel Jesus in your heart. You know, He was the first Christmas present. Jesus. And you know, it didn't look like much. But it was the best that God had. He gave His only begotten Son. And Herod, I was watching a documentary on Herod not long ago. And he was one of the most evil men in the earth of all times. And he sought Jesus' life. He sought to take Jesus, the gift, away. But you know what? Jesus was in the hands of His Father. And if you'll let it be so, so are you. You're in the hands of the Maker, the Creator. And He loves you. And He doesn't love you because of how you perform. He loves you because He made you. He has a plan for your life. And it's a good plan. And I just encourage you this year to take the Christmas challenge that I preached not long ago. To experience Jesus in your heart by climbing outside of what is comfortable and reach out to an enemy. Reach out to a poor person. Reach out to a lonely person. Reach out at the nursing home. Reach out in many other ways. Amen? Stand to your feet. I'm going to speak God's blessing over you. And I say unto you, if you would, lift up your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up Christmas, His power, His love, His gift, His kindness, His generosity, His prosperity, and His peace on earth, goodwill towards men, to each and every one of you. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. And now I would like everybody that can help to understand that Brenda Jackson is going, she's